Hello and welcome once again to our Bible prophecy series. We're trying to make it plain and simple. Again, our verse for this series, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So we get into the book of Revelation, we have seven churches mentioned there, but it's interesting that although it does obviously represent seven churches and seven periods of time over the last 2,000 years, these letters were not written to the church in general, like, hey, anybody out there want to open the mail? They were written to the pastor. The word is used angel here. It means messenger. And so in the first letter was to the church at Ephesus. We read, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write, I know thy works. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else. The message is to the pastor. Then we have the church at Smyrna, and unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Letter to the pastor in the church of Pergamos, we read, unto the angel of the church of Pergamos write, I know thy works, I have a few things against thee, repent or else. Written to the pastor, Thyatira, the preacher there, unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, I have a few things against thee. Then we have the church at Sardis, unto the angel of the church in Sardis, be watchful and strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. Now that's about where we are today with the remnant of fundamental churches that's left here. We need to strengthen the things which remain. Then we have the Laodicean church. This is the age in which we're living now. And unto the angel, the letters written to the pastor of the church of the Laodiceans, write, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. We are living in an age today of Laodicean fundamentalism. There's also four horses mentioned in the book of Revelation. The first we read there, and I saw the Lamb open one of the seals, and I heard as it were a noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now notice he has a bow. He is on a white horse. Jesus will come back in on a white horse at the end of the book of Revelation. And he is coming as Christ. He's coming as the Antichrist. Notice he comes in with a bow, but he doesn't have an arrow. He conquers, but he doesn't conquer he conquers through influence, without firing a shot. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Now this is taking place during the tribulation period, which is not very far down the road. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the beast say, come and see, and I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see that thou hurt not the oil and the wine. The black horse, we're looking at the situations in the tribulation period once again. And finally, we read here, and when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name which sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with a sword, with hunger, with death, and with the beasts of the field. Now that's fourth part of the earth dies during that tribulation period. Now, he says, behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, this actually represents, as we said, the Antichrist, a white horse, and he goes forth, and he's conquering. And it says here, a crown was given unto him. He doesn't come in with a crown. He comes in, but and a crown is given unto him. He does not ride in with a crown, but he gets this position as a leader. He will control his followers through his influence without firing a shot. He is the Antichrist who will deceive Israel into believing he is their long-awaited Messiah. He will present himself as Christ. We read about it in 2 Thessalonians 2. Could read about other places in the New Testament. But here it says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. So the rider on the white horse went forth conquering and to conquer. Now this is coming just down the road. Pretty soon the next thing on God's program is the rapture of the Christian. We are taken out of this world. Now what we're having up until that time happens right now is what I call the shadow of the white horse rider. The shadow of the white horse rider is running rampant through our local churches in this age of apostasy. He is destroying our churches without firing a shot. He is symbolic of the philosophies that are now accepted in what were once fundamental churches. What we had at fundamental churches even 10 years ago and what our fundamental churches today had nothing in common. The churches are further gone. I can't find words to express how fast things have gone downhill in our so-called fundamental churches. Our philosophy of ministry is the system of values by which the church operates. Many fundamental churches are being conquered today through the values that are contrary to the Word of God. The Bible says in Colossians 2, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. That's how we do what God tells us to do. Through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. The dictionary definition of philosophy is a theory or attitude held by a person or organization that acts as the guiding principle for behavior. And that's what we're doing today. A system of values that is arrived at by logical reasoning rather than the truth is referred to in the scriptures as vain deceit after the traditions of men. And so today our churches are flooded with a philosophy of ministry that is after the traditions of men. Not only the music, not only the standards, after the world, things are going downhill, as I said, faster than we would ever imagine that they would. After the traditions of men. Now, we can determine truth by what appears to be successful rather than by the Word of God, and that is what is happening. Success, the accomplishment of an aim or a purpose. That is what it is to be successful. Our definition of success is going to be determined by what type of goals we set. If our goal is to have a large group of people in church, we will feel successful if we have a large group of people in church. When back in the 60s, I remember when our fundamental movement, and they put the whole focus on numbers, 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 numbers. Everything was about how to get more people. You have a contest in the spring, you have a contest in the fall, and you get all these gimmicks, and you can swallow goldfish, and you can throw pies in somebody's face. I was involved in all of that nonsense. The problem with it is it works if all you want to get is a crowd. But it's not. I don't find any of that stuff in the book of Acts. Once again, if our goal is to have a large group of people in church, we will feel successful if we have a large group. Let me give you an example. Dr. W. A. Criswell was the pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. The membership while he was there grew to about 28,000 members. It appeared to be very successful. He said, I will be surprised to see 25% of my church members in heaven. If he was right, 21,000 people who prayed a little prayer minus repentance and joined the local church because the get a crowd was the goal, they went to hell when they died. Now, only someone who is totally ignorant of scriptures would consider this successful. So here we have the church, First Baptist Church in Dallas, looking pretty successful. Yep, here we have it. If our goal is to have a large group of people in church, we will feel successful if we have a large group. Looks great, doesn't it? What did Spurgeon say? He saw all this coming. He said that very church which the world likes best is sure to be that which God abhors. We're living there today under the angel of the church of the Laodicean trade. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. We're lukewarm, smooth things only. Let's just keep the money coming in. We got to fill the church with us. We got to get those seats full, and we got to get those offering plates full. That's where we are today, and we call it fundamentalism. Bible prophecy, plain and simple, not always sweet, but it's always plain, and it's always simple. Be sure and be with us for our next program.